Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello and welcome to the Churros y Tacticas podcast, coming at you on a Monday for the freebies. It is Monday, January 23rd. I'm your host, Keon Sabani. Diego and I had a little bit of a back and forth before we started the podcast. We were kind of giving each other the option of doing the intro. We both won. Diego and I came to the conclusion that Real Madrid's win over Athletic was bigger. I just got an alarm on my phone. It said, send Zoom link to Diego. We're recording early. And Diego just turned on his lights. Good to go. All systems go. Yeah, we came to the conclusion that Real Madrid's win over Athletic was bigger than Barcelona's 1-0 win over Getafe, where it didn't seem like Barcelona played very good. I don't know if Johan Cruyff would have been very happy with that win, because results matter. Did you guys at least have 70% possession? I didn't look at the stats.
It was, you know, a game that was far from being something to be proud of. And Xavi said himself after the match itself, right? This was an ugly win, and it's a step back from where we are coming from. We spoke about it on the pod very frankly as well. We talked about the reason, one of the reasons why these finals against Real Madrid in the Super Cup are so, you know, widely celebrated. I was going to use the word maybe excessively or overly celebrated. And the reason is because you want to see that sort of become the norm and that consistency come into play from game to game, whether it's a final against your biggest rival in the club's history, or if it is, you know, match day 18 at home playing the Spotify Camp Nou against the Getafe. That's, you know, They are where they are in sort of the bottom tier, obviously fighting for relegation pretty much this season. Quique Sanchez Flores, has got a tough task ahead with this Getafe. And these defensive setups are always, they don't bring out the best of Barca, put it that way. So ugly win, but a win. And that was important to, at least for a little short time in space, be 6 points adrift from the second in the league standings. And that's Real Madrid, who we were hoping, of course, would stumble upon the game that they had against Athletic Club. It wasn't meant to be. I think that in and of itself was a more interesting match as well. But yeah, no, not something to be proud of, Kian, to directly answer your question.
Well, there's a couple of things, because I actually chose to watch Arsenal versus Manchester United over Barcelona Getafe, which is quite quite a thing to state on a Spanish football podcast. But I did go over it, and I saw, I think at some point you tweeted that something about Pedri and Gavi and all these guys, the future looks good or something. And without watching the game or knowing the Barca score, when I saw your tweet, I just assumed, well, oh, it's like probably 8-0, and Gavi has a hat-trick and Pedri has a hat-trick. And then I saw the score by the end of it, and I saw, I don't know who it was on my timeline, I apologize, someone I follow said that it was, actually, no, you know what, I think it was, I was watching the highlights on ESPN, that's what it was, and Dan Thomas said that it was a terrible game. And I was like, oh, that seems different than what I had thought.
Well, listen, if you're ESPN, not necessarily known for the station that most promotes or, let's say, sings the praises of Barca recently. But in this case, they were 100% spot on right.
Well,
the reason I put out that tweet is very simple, Ken. It's because in moments like that, you're still trying to find, you know, sacar conclusiones positivas, suck out the poison. You're trying to, you know, como se dice, sacar, like draw positive conclusions, right?
Sure.
And sure, what are those? Were the players that were performing well that did have a good game for Barça? For me, that were three: Pedri, Gavi, and Marc-André ter Stegen. Marc-André ter Stegen, man of the match. If it wasn't for him, Getafe could have easily gotten a draw out of this one. If we wouldn't be speaking right now of top performing Marc-André ter Stegen, we would be right now talking about, you know, Getafe walked away with a draw or potentially even a win from the Camp Nou. That's not to say that Barca didn't have their chances, even though there were not that many. It was not a game for Ansu. He was not in form. I thought Rafinha actually had a good game. And I'm saying actually had a good game. It doesn't mean that I find him garbage or anything in other games. It's just that this particular one, in a game where it was difficult to create chances, he was feeding them two into the box. He was, of course, he also provided the assist for Pedri. I thought Gavi had a very, very positive match. I know that there's controversy going around regarding some of his overzealous style of tackling, that he picks up yellow cards, or that maybe he should be on a rewarding end of more yellow cards. That is a big debate that we could. My point is, I don't want to at this point in time start finger pointing and say, well, you know, over on your side we have these examples and on our side we have these examples. But I know that argument is there. I thought he had a very good game. I really do. He's a hard worker. He works his socks off. Whether it's a good game where the team is performing well as a whole or not, you can expect 100% attitude out of this kid, and I commend him for it. And then Pedri. Of course, Pedri had an excellent game, an excellent game. You know, he has set the bar so high right now that even though he is already in the top 10 best football players in the world, you're still talking about a very young player that can also make errors. I mean, he passed the ball back. I think it was to, his backline or directly to Marc-André ter Stegen. The point is, he passed it to nobody.
Basically in Mayoral, right?
And it just went to the feet of Borja once again. The amount of chances that Borja Mayoral had yesterday, I don't think he has those in most matches. If it wasn't for Marc-André,
Borja team, no chance. No, they don't do anything yet.
So there you go.
Well, okay, my brain melted because you called Pedri a top 10 player in the world, and I have to really, really think about what you just said. I can't even register. I don't know if I can speak anything in the podcast anymore. Now I'm just constantly thinking about that.
I'd have good.
Yeah, I've never heard.
Is that blasphemous?
I don't know what it is. I just have to think about it because off the top of my head, there's at least like six or seven that are like locked. So I don't. My brain is melting. I'm gonna just disagree without even thinking about it. But anyways, but he's a great player. I'm assuming your tweet coincided with the goal, right? Because the goal was great. It was a beautiful goal.
I don't think it did coincide with it, no.
Okay.
I mean, they scored at what, like, I think it was the 35, 37 minutes? No.
Yeah, something like that. 20, 30, I don't know. Xavi said after the game that he felt like his team didn't create enough chances. And I was actually kind of shocked to see after the game how little it actually was. It was 0.7 on the XG chart, which I'm doing this manually. I think it's the lowest of the season. I think it might be a case to be your lowest offensive output of the season. I will say this, though. Speaking of brain melting, I'm just going to say this. I don't know if you know this, but statistically speaking, this is the best defensive Barcelona side of all time. Did you know that?
Of all time? I did not know that. No.
The amount of chances they've conceded at this stage of the season is the lowest in the history of Barcelona at this stage of the season.
Six goals conceded.
Six goals conceded after the first 17 games is the worst in is the best in its history.
Three of them in the Clásico.
Yeah.
And three, where else? I think there was three.
I don't know. One of the others came.
Anyway. But
Rayo, the first game of the season, there's one.
The thing is that it comes with an asterisk, and it should say in the domestic league, because I don't know if those numbers account for European competitions or,
no, of course not.
You know, the Super Copa.
I mean, against Bayern and Inter, you conceded six in like 10 minutes.
Against Inter City, we conceded three.
That doesn't count, but.
So,
well,
it was, you. In the Supercopa against Betis, we conceded two.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That was your toughest game of the Supercopa. Was that not the final? The asterisk, I guess, is in big games, that number is widely different. So you can use that as something to be critical of Barca or cynical. I don't know. To me, I think it's fair criticism. But in every other game, it's not even just that this is the best defensive performance in Barcelona history up until this point, but it's actually the best in Europe right now too, like in all the top five leagues. So the defense is impressive, and it's also impressive because of the way Barcelona are playing. They're leaving so much space in behind. And I think it is something really impressive about the fact that, you know, Pep did this too. He defended high up the pitch, but even his side weren't able to defend as successfully high up the pitch the way Xavi's side has done until now. Obviously, once we stretch out the sample size and put it the whole year, we'll see what happens. But you can't argue with what's happening right now from a defensive standpoint.
But the thing is, like, you look at our defense as well, and yes, it's received its fair share of criticism, but for a long part and stretch of the season, key players like Araujo, Koundé have been injured. Andreas Christensen has been injured. Bellerin is injured. People are going to laugh about Bellerin, but it's just another example of how the back line has been suffering setbacks. Not to say, you know, Balde, Jordi Alba, Marcos Alonso, Eric García, Gerard Piqué. I mean, there's been some, you know, formation switches and twitches that have been done, or tweaks, I wanted to say. Certain, you know, Xavi's had to tweak the back line. But I think what I'm really happy to see, Kian, is that Christensen is actually proving his worth, if you want to put it that way. Or, you know, I think he's quickly convincing a lot of culés. I think his performances are increasingly more positive. We see that Xavi is giving him continuity as well. He plays well with Araujo as a center back, or Koundé. So to have that solidity in those three, and to then be able to switch as well with Jordi Alba and Balde on the left. Of course, Marcos Alonso as well. It's a solid defense. If you look at it, all these players that I just named, the, you know, Christensen, look at his track record. And I'll say that one of Marcos Alonso as well. I mean, the players that achieved everything with Chelsea. Yeah, you have to commend that. You have to, I mean, you have to also trust these players and their ability to defend. On top of that, also having a Marc-André Ter Stegen that's a stellar goalkeeper that, again, you know, leaves another game without having conceded any goals. And the truth is Borja Mayoral had, it felt like a handful of chances. I'm probably grossly exaggerating that, but I felt like he had a definite, good, clear 2-3 key blocks on Borja on the night. And, good. Those are good defensive numbers. We need to do it, as you say, though, as you rightly say, put up these numbers in finals and in big games, if you want to put it that way. Even though I feel like that is kind of being skewed and manipulated as well. Like, Barca don't perform in big games, and then, well, what's your criteria for big games? Anyway, to avoid having that conversation and to simplify it and dumbify it down, in big games, or in knockout tournaments, you know, this Barca need to also be able to be at this defensively solid. And we will see now against Manchester United, just 2 weeks away before the European competition restarts. The big test will be against Real Sociedad as well, Wednesday in the Copa. Yeah, crunch time starts now. This is the fun part of the season.
I'm very, very much looking forward to the Manchester United Barcelona game. Just as a neutral observer. I mean, obviously, I'm a Real Madrid fan, so it's not quite neutral. But I think it's two teams that we did a podcast last week, and that, you know, if we were doing like statistical breakdown of Real Madrid season and all that. And one thing we just kind of mentioned in passing that there's three teams in the Europa League that are good, that are Champions League teams right now, like Manchester United, Barcelona, and Arsenal. Arsenal are playing out of their minds right now. And that's another team. Yeah. Like these three teams next season are going to be, I think, I don't know if I necessarily will say contenders, but maybe, but at the very, very least, teams that will go far in the Champions League, I assume. So the Europa League is kind of fun this year. I'm just gonna, I going back to what you said about Pedri. I'm just gonna disagree. That's all good. I barely thought about it or researched it, but it's hurting my head. I'm just gonna say no. It's not top 10. But you said it with such conviction that I thought, you know, it's a classic case. You know, if you say anything with confidence, people just believe it. You must have thought about this before you mentioned that.
This is coming from somebody that goes so hard and out of his way to dislike a player like Gavi that will not admit that he's worth, you know, the accolades and the praise that he is.
I think Gavi's a good player.
How can I expect somebody that like that to be open to the idea that Pedri, for me, is in the conversation of being a top 10 player?
Well, first of all, you are speaking to someone who defends Barcelona's players more than Barcelona's fans do. And I think Gavi's a really, really good player.
Is that so?
Yeah. Who sticks up for Ansu Fati? What other crazy, deranged person went to bat for Ricky Puch? It was me. I'm the only one who believed in that guy.
Listen, one of the reasons I love doing this pod so much is your love and admiration. And it's like secret. That's why I call you a closet culé when we're joking around. So, you know, I wouldn't be able to do this pod if it weren't the case. So I will give you that. Yes. You've always given respect where it is due, but sometimes you stick to your, you know, pre-misconceptions and sort of your,
well,
yeah, this, you know, like this thought that like we all live in our own echo chambers, I suppose. And we all,
well, I just
make our I, own
I'd like to know a bit of an explanation at least, because when you said it, I'm sure you've thought about it before you said it. So do you have a list?
No, I didn't. I didn't. This was something that just, you know, kind of just flew out. You know, we're not scripted here, Kian. If I wish I had more time to prepare the show. I don't have time to prepare the show. We're rifting here, my friend.
If
you want to press me, I will make a case. I have no problem making a case for somebody that already has become a leader of a very difficult club and dressing room that has taken over a completely new generation. He is leading this entire new generation. If you have to pinpoint and say who's the leader of this team, I would say Marc-Andre ter Stegen, and I would say Pedri. You might argue, well, what about Busquets? Obviously, he's the captain. You still have players like Jordi Alba. You have other powerful figures like Ronald Araujo that could perfectly wear the captain's armband. And I'm not saying that he shouldn't or he couldn't. But for somebody that is so young to already play the way that he is, to already compete as well. And you can say, well, you lost against Bayern, you lost against your Inters. For me, Pedri, you know, in those games showed his very mature vision of the game and his ability to test his skills against the best and come out a winner. I mean, we talk about moral victories very often. I thought that the game in Munich for Barca against Bayern was very positive, despite the fact that we obviously didn't walk away with the 3 points. You know, for me, in those games, we showed a superior style of play to our opponent. And they were lucky to walk away with the 3 points. What do you want me to do? You can call me disillusional and everything. But for these types of games where I see Pedri, you know, take such a leadership role in a difficult squad that is coming off the back of winning, you know, playing the most successful football of its golden age with Messi, the greatest player in the history of the club, and now the game, from coming off, you know, taking over midfielders, the likes of Xavi Hernandez and Andres Iniesta, the best, you know, midfield duo in the history of the game, plus obviously Sergio Busquets as well, to then fulfill those boots and walk those shadows alongside another youngster like Gavi that never backs down from his opponents, is never scared to look them in the eye and goes toe-to-toe with anybody out there. And again, does so very positively. And this is just, we're at the beginning. They're just at the cusp of their professional career being launched and started in the first team. For me, man, like, yeah, we're talking about generational football players. I genuinely believe that. I think that in 10 years time or in 20 years time, 15 years time, we'll look back and we'll look at players like Pedri and Gavi and say, wow, like what a transition, what a luxury going from Andres Iniesta and Xavi Hernandez to another midfield duo like Gavi and Pedri, who have, I have no doubt that they have, that they will write amazing history in this club at Barca for many years. That's just my conviction. And I believe and I think it's important as well to have, you know, to back these players like this. I mean, the reason why I try to stay positive I was going to say defeat. I mean, this is not even defeat. There's a mood as if this game against Getafe was a loss or something we need to be embarrassed about. It's un aviso. It's a warning. It's, hey, you remember what happened last year when after the Clásico 4-0 in the Bernabeu, great football and a moral victory in the Spanish Super Cup and other good victories, big important victories in Napoli. But there was this, you know, a very sharp decline after that. And that was worrying at the time. And that'll be worrying if we see this now. So, anyway, to go back, Pedri, top 10 footballer for me, yes.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I hear what you're saying, and it's fine to have that reasoning. And the part about these guys writing history, only time will tell. I mean, we've made plenty of predictions in the past about promising young players that have amounted to nothing. I'm not saying they won't, will or they won't, but let's just see. But I guess when you say you're ready to make a case, I want to hear the list is what I'm saying. I want to know who's being excluded, because the amount of great players in world football right now are incredible. And I guess I just want to hear like who it is in the top 10 and who's being excluded. I'm assuming that part you haven't really thought ahead yet, because what you're describing,
I obviously did not think this out.
Yeah.
We are shooting the shit, as they say in France.
What you're describing right now is a great player. That's not in disagreement with what I'm saying. Is I want to see the list, because when we say top 10, that means you're in the top 10 best players in the world, which he's not even the best player on your team. And I don't know if you have two top 10 players in the world.
He's not the best player on our team. Well, because of Lewandowski, I imagine.
Yeah, Lewandowski.
Where do you put him, though?
Who?
As second?
Probably second. Yeah, second.
What about on the Spanish national side?
Yeah. I think that's fair.
I hear what you're saying. And if you want to press me on it, you know, I would on the spot. It'll get sloppy. I'm not going to do it. You know, I'm sorry.
Well,
sorry
no,
to disappoint you.
You can tune into a
Churros Patreon edition. If one of our patrons is interested in me backing this argument and then me making a serious case out of it, I'd be happy to do so. You know,
again, I guess I'm just curious to see scripted. If you'll actually I'm change your mind when to you make my the guns. List, though. Once you realize,
maybe I will. Maybe I will. I know there are fantastic football players. For me, I have also no problem in admitting and saying that. Obviously, my reference point here and my sample size, the player that I see at least twice a week and every day practice, et cetera, is Pedri. Whereas the other nine greatest players in the top 10 list, I don't see on such a regular basis or for full games, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's an important thing to mention, you know?
Yeah. There's also a distinguishing thing for me, Diego, sorry, is mm-hmm. that do you look at current form or just how good they are? Because to me, those are two different things, right? There are a lot of players who are out of form this season who we know are great based on the past 24 months of the calendar, right? But they'll probably come back and rebound and be great again, because as they say, the cliche of form is temporary, class is permanent. On that note, there are players who are playing out of their minds right now. We don't know if that's sustainable and if they're actually in the top 10 greatest players. So I guess I'm just curious to see if you go through the list to see what you come up with is I'm curious. So that can be for a future podcast anyway.
I would like to do that.
All right. Done. Great. I'll do one too. Although with me, I don't know if I have a definitive top 10. I have just like, I have seven locks, I think. And maybe 16 Go. To 20 you players wanna... who have the argument to be in the top 10. And it might come down to subjectivity after that. So, yeah.
You want to shoot them off now or you want to save it for the pod?
I'll give you my locks. And I won't give you my 16, 17 players who have a case because I might miss some. You know, I can save that part. But my locks are Haaland, Mbappe, Neymar, Messi, Benzema, De Bruyne.
Neymar?
And Lewandowski. Yeah. Definitely.
Wait. I'm very surprised you're putting Neymar in that list.
He's unstoppable. Sure, he's inconsistent or he has injury problems, but that I have zero interest in playing against that dude. Anytime Real Madrid has to play against PSG, I'm so terrified of that guy. Because he's an unbelievable player. Man, we just watched the World Cup. He was unbelievable. So and that's why I think there's like these discussions of there's the form discussion and then there's like how good are they actually right now? You know, if they're on their day, I want no part of playing Neymar in a big game. No part. Got it. Cold-blooded. Good. So anyways, yeah, these are just once we get into like actually discussion on this, you know, there's a lot to unpack and a lot of really great players playing really great football right now. But the bottom line is, look, Pedri is great. But the top 10 is just a big claim for me. That's all. It's a big claim.
You didn't say Messi.
I did.
You did? Okay.
Yep. I did. Okay. I also think you pretty much have to include Vinicius in there, even though he's out of form. That guy who's a top 5 player last year and a rough patch doesn't do enough for me. That again, this gets into the form discussion. Best winger in Europe last season, and I think you kind of have to include him. So we can unpack it later though. If you guys want, I feel like we're spoiling it. If you want access to this one, patreon.com/churros y tacticas. That's where you get access to. We'll do it later this week. Although we have a lot to talk about in that episode too, because we got some big games midweek. Okay, what do you want to talk about, man? I got some things, but do you have anything you want to that's more on topic or more relevant?
I just thought of something, but that's definitely not for today.
If it's controversial, do it now. Do it now. Don't say
no,
it.
No.
Okay.
It's I mean, more on topic. I mean, more on topic of Planet Barca. I don't know if you want to dissect the game more, just leave it at that. You mentioned, you know, the defensive statistics. I think that's a positive takeaway. And, you know, now it's the cup. Are you guys interested in the cup?
Which cup?
Oh,
Copa del Rey.
Who are you playing against? Yes.
The tournament will inevitably lose. We play up against Atletico on Thursday, dude. It's a massive game.
Coño, es un derby. That's true. Yeah. Okay. So that's something that you guys are obviously taking serious. You don't want to lose against the neighbors.
Do you know the only way we will win Copa del Rey, in my opinion, is if we play against Barca in the final. That's the only way we'll take it at least semi-seriously and not just collapse. Right. And I think actually, funny enough, the bigger the opponent is, the better chance we have. Like Villarreal, that second half comeback was great. Atletico will obviously take seriously because they're also in great form. They're playing really good right now. So I think that's another talking point we'll eventually get to. They look great on the weekend against Valladolid. Curious to see how Memphis fits in off the bench. So I think we'll take it seriously. And you guys have a big game too, right? You guys play against La Real.
Real Sociedad, yeah, it's of course it's big. I mean, they're third now, right? And I think just 3 points behind
they're on fire,
and it's going to be big. The good thing is that the 4 times prior we've met Real Sociedad in the cup, we've always managed to beat them. Not that, you know, past occurrences dictate what can happen in the present. Especially not with, as you mentioned, Real Sociedad being so hotly in form right now. you know, I don't, I'm holding myself back because I was about to say something that could land me a lot of trouble. But
what? You spill all these little things out and then you just don't tell us what it is.
Well, that's what Fridays are for. We shouldn't have skipped Friday, by the way. We owe our patrons
A
Friday edition. Yeah. We know. I think it'll be a very big game, but I think, you know, the priorities. No, I shouldn't have said. Forget it. You go over to you.
What?
I think the league has to be the priority. You know, I do agree with that. When you hear the president say it, when you hear Xavi talk about the league being priority, I think these matches are, you know, progressing in these kind of matches, and it's good. Having said that, it's very good experience for the young players as well. Forget everything I said.
Oh, it's too late. I think you said it. It's on record. Headline is Diego Llorente hates Copa del Rey. It's done.
No,
I'm in agreement with you.
Good experience.
In a general sense. Mm. I would rather just lose playing a bunch of young kids in Copa del Rey. Generally speaking.
I really do.
Yeah. That's my personal feeling. And some people will disagree with that. That's fine. I would even go as far as to say, even if it's a massive game like Barcelona, I would love to just play a bunch of kids and either lose. There's like no risk in that scenario, because if you lose, well, it's like, oh, you lost against Barcelona's A team. If you win, it's bragging rights for the next 100 years, you know? So, but obviously we know why that can't happen. You know, the club has to take these games seriously and try to win it. The optics of doing so are important. Real Sociedad, just to give some perspective, the last time they lost a game was November 3rd. It was against Manchester United in the Europa League. They have won every single game since the World Cup. They're just in great form. Now, this is where it gets interesting for them, and I just hope to God that it doesn't all come crumbling down all of a sudden, because they do have some depth concerns. And the thing with Real Sociedad every year is that it's always a question of, can they sustain good form? Their next two games, do you know what they are? Obviously, you know one of them.
They play Madrid and Real Valladolid.
Well,
they play Madrid after Barca.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Those are the two next games, are Barcelona and Real Madrid. They have to play both of those teams.
And
you always worry about teams like that. How do they juggle the rotations in those two games, and whether it will just kill them to play the same, their best 11 in both games. And that's going to be...
I'm sorry, I ruined that setup for you. You set that up like me going, no, who do they play? And you would have gone, Barça and Madrid. And I would have gone, whoa, that's me. I just pulled it up. I have it in front of my face.
Just killing my momentum, man. Just killing it.
Aye, aye, aye. So you're hoping for a Barça loss. All right, fine. I wouldn't
out
of this competition.
I'm actually not.
I guess not. No, yeah, yeah.
I want you guys to be distracted.
You want our players to get tired out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sid, my one of my podcast hosts on Managing Madrid, brought up a good point that, like, because I mentioned that, you know, Barca can focus on the league, they're not in Champions League, and he brought it to my attention that, no, they're going to try to win Europa League. They have to play against Manchester United. So... And after that, the teams are still going to be good if they progress against... I was like, oh, that's a fair point. You're going to play your best 11 against Manchester United, I assume, right?
Yes. Yeah, we will be. I have no doubt about it. I mean, I have my feelings about that game or that competition as a whole. I feel like it's the kind of competition where... you're damned if you do or damned if you don't, and damned if you don't, meaning if we end up winning this competition, we'll be trolled because everybody will say, look at these losers celebrating the Europa League. And we're like, yeah. But if we get knocked out, then we'll get trolled for being knocked out of the Europa League as well. So it's, you know.
Yeah,
and also, let's be honest. I mean, the Barca fans, it's not necessarily a trophy. I think that would be, you know, toured around the city necessarily neither. So it's what do you do with this in this situation? It's a big game against a very informed Manchester United. They're coming in hot as well. I mean, similar to Real Sociedad on a massive streak. Did they win over the weekend? Actually, I think they didn't win, right?
Wait, who?
Manchester United.
No, they lost against Arsenal. Yeah.
Yeah.
An incredible Arsenal, so, by the way. Just incredible.
An incredible Arsenal. Very, 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 very impressive. But so, yeah, be that as it may, it's a big game. A lot of history between these two sides, obviously, on the European stage and in Champions League finals. That's the last time when we faced them. Our record against United is very, very good. And like I said, it's experience, obviously, for the younger players in these kind of situations moving forward for preparation for Champions League knockout phase in the future. So, and similar with the cup. I am hugely impressed now with, I'm looking at some of the numbers from Real Sociedad as well. Sorry to go back.
No.
But, no, it's impressive. What do you know about Surlot? Surlot.
He was the guy, obviously, who was expected to replace Isak's output, right?
I mean, he came in to replace Isak. Isak was having a very bad time, poor guy. These players that leave La Liga to go to places like this, man, don't chase the money. The happiness is here in Spain.
He was doing poorly even before he left, though. He was in a really poor run of form. So
sure, but you know, he showed a glimpse of what he was capable or what he is capable of. And I'm look, I don't know much about Newcastle. Again, I don't see the Premier League very much. I should say the Super League. Very much, but a team like Real Sociedad was positive for Isak, and you know he would have enjoyed football more here. Again, this is, you can call that a crazy statement. It's similar to, you know, to the maybe calling Pedri a top 10 football player current. For me, that's how do I back this claim? I don't. It's just it's a feeling. It's a gut feeling. It's an eye test. It's based, the conclusions that I draw based on what I know and what I've seen.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Well, I think the shocking thing about the Isak thing was that wasn't it like a really low, like how much did it get sold for? Let me check. Cause I remember at the time thinking that seemed like a bad sale for Real Sociedad. I don't know if I'm misremembering.
They had to do it though.
No, it was more. Oh, sorry. No, oh, no. Complete opposite. My bad. It was the complete opposite. It was a shock.
75, no?
Yeah. Okay. So, Nana, what am I saying? Right. What I do remember saying at that time was 70 million was an insane amount for him, and Real Sociedad absolutely have to do that because he is not worth that much in any world. No chance. And so that was actually a great piece of business. I don't know why I completely got that wrong, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this fine Surlot or Surlot, the Norwegian player, is flown under my radar. But see that he's hit the ground running, man. Like it'll be one to take into account for sure.
Well, he's, I don't even think he is like the long-term solution for them. I think they can do even better. I mean,
well, he's, he's banging the goals in for them since arriving.
He's doing well. I mean, he's in a really great run of form. I guess I just I think that Real Sociedad can even get someone better at that position is what I'm saying. But
oh, for sure, for
he's
sure.
He's been good in the last.
And look, Imanol Aguacil is an OG man. I mean, you know, Aguacil knows what he's doing. Yeah. Love that guy. I mean, how can you not? He's an OG.
Yeah.
And I'm whenever I say his name, I'm reminded of that press conference after winning the Super Cup. When he starts like singing the Spanish Super Cup, he starts singing the anthem of Real Sociedad. Do you not see that?
I don't remember
in the press conference.
Reason. Yeah, but
in like a press conference, he's like. He goes like full Braveheart mode.
So I the funny thing about that is that I'm sure that was such an inaccurate representation of what he actually did.
No, he did pretty much did that. Look, sorry, I don't speak Basque, you know. Mm. Euskadi is not one of the languages I possess. Then don't have the ability to speak. I would like to, man. Nothing but respect. One of the seven languages in the world, I believe it is, without any roots to any other languages. So,
Great trivia right there.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Can you indulge me on some other stuff that's not necessarily La Liga related?
Not La Liga related?
Not really, no. More Dutch related.
Like Dutch football?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Weghorst.
Let me just ask you the question, okay? Let me just ask you the question.
All right, fine.
With Koeman coming back as the national team manager, there was a report, I think today, this morning, if I'm not mistaken, that he wants to go back to 4-3-3 and
yeah, deviate from said.
Van Gaal's. What were your thoughts on that? Were you excited? Did that excite you?
Of course it excited me. It just made me laugh that, you know, that Koeman says that. Like, I don't know where I'm torn right now. I know that I see what he did and what he can do with both the Dutch national side and with Barca. Now, he came and took over in a very difficult time as well. And, you know, you have to say, you know, gave way to these youngsters that I mentioned previously to make their debuts for the first team. He was in a position where he could and had to, you know, make the choice to do so. For Holland, he was positive in that he qualified the team for, the big tournaments, the international tournaments. He got to the final four of the UEFA Nations League. He had good performances in Holland, Germany. Very good game that was, the one I'm thinking of, which was football total. It was an inspired day for Holland in a recent friendly against Germany. Or was it a friendly? Was it UEFA Nations? It might have been like semi-official, like a UEFA Nations game. I forget now which one it was. But obviously, I take great joy and pleasure in seeing those kind of moments where my Oranje beat up Duitsland. And I also know that he's always had a sort of limit to the amount of talent that these countries or clubs normally produce, right? With the Barca side, he had very good individual players. He still had Messi there. He had Griezmann. He had a young Pedri coming up, et cetera, et cetera. But the circumstances, I think, made it impossible or very difficult for him to do a good job. He was left the team at ninth when Xavi took over. I mean, and the football was getting increasingly worse. And with Holland, it was neither like anything amazing, but again, there I know that we're talent wise, you know, on the slim side at the moment. We don't have that offensive, talented football generation coming out of Oranje at the moment. as I repeatedly say right now, you look at Holland and we're more known for our defensive, you know, our defensive players, Virgil van Dijk, you know, I'm blanking on De Ligt, thank you. And I don't know what to expect. I'm happy that he says we're going to a 4-3-3. I'm happy that he said some of the right things, right? That during the World Cup that he was not, you know, he didn't recognize the style of football and that it's not the way that he wants to play. So that's all good. But we'll see what we get. Look, obviously, best of luck to Ronald Koeman.
Do you feel like he's grown a little bit bitter towards Barcelona as time has gone on?
Definitely seems like that. Definitely seems like that. When given a chance, he always has a little bit of a slight dig into Laporta, obviously. We saw as well. Well, not really. I mean, in the Barca documentary, the New Era documentary, his relationships with both presidents, and not that it looked bad between Laporta, but he's never made it a secret that he wasn't happy the way he was let go. I think he's being a bit salty about it. I don't really buy into all the press that was coming out at the time that, you know, he was being treated unfairly and legends shouldn't be treated like that. I mean, if anything, he was being treated very softly by the press. They never had anything. They were not critical of him whatsoever. You know, he never got sort of the backlashes from the press like Luis Enrique got or Louis van Gaal for that matter or you know, I mean, other coaches that were in his position, the press were very easy with him, you know. And my point being is a lot of times when I read comments on things that he says with the way he was treated by the press or you know, the way he was treated by President Laporta, it feels a little like, you know, come on, like, you walked away with 15 million, you know, reportedly, or 12. It's like you got a nice little goodbye package. You know, let's let bygones be bygones. Thank you for your service. You did your best, but we were in the risk of not qualifying for Champions League, man. Like, you know, we were ninth. We were, what was it, like 18 points adrift from Champions League spots or something that crazy. Xavi turned it around and we finished second. It's easily said, but not easily done. Well, so, you know, he should be more supportive, I feel, and respectful of what Xavi's doing now.
The Koeman-Laporta thing, it's happened so many times in football history. New president comes in, coach basically gets cast aside eventually. This is not my guy, this is the previous president's guy. And I, you know, yeah, it happens a lot. I mean, I only really know it deeply on the realm just side of things, but it's basically happened every time a new president has come in. And I don't even think it's the wrong thing necessarily. I mean, in this case, it was the right move to replace Koeman with Xavi. It was just, I mean, he said today, I don't know if you saw it, but he said that he doesn't watch Barca's games anymore. Like, he doesn't watch them. So yeah, someone asked him about Memphis and
I don't believe it. Memphis I don't is believe not. It.
I don't either. I mean, there's no way like he's not watching, you know? Yeah, I don't believe it either.
And it hurts me to see him go out like this. It's like, come on. I mean, we're, you know, talking about an idol. I don't want to see him do this. It's kind of like Shakira now with the third song about Piqué. It's like, okay, you did two already. It's enough.
I still haven't seen any of these new Shakira things that everyone keeps talking about, but I saw that one thing that people took issue with was that he criticized Casio, the watch, or something. Is this true?
No, he didn't criticize. He took that as a marketing opportunity or sponsorship opportunity and made Casio sponsors of his Kings League. Because she said he replaced her in a song.
Genius,
she says,
man. I don't like PK, that is pretty smart.
In the song, she says, you replaced a Rolex with a Casio. And then he came out wearing a Casio and he said, Casios are for life. And they're also now the sponsor of the Kings League. So
that's actually pretty good, man. I got to give him that one. I hate this whole thing. Yeah. And I don't like a lot of the stuff he does and says, obviously, but that's actually pretty smart. Can I just mention this one thing? And I haven't spoken to you about this at all, but I just want to commend Xavi for his apology on the whole, what he said originally about Dani Alves thing. I thought his apology was great. You know, so many times you see people give this half-assed apology and completely butcher it and make it worse. This was a sincere and well thought out and made it clear what his intentions were and what he said, and was very sympathetic and spoke about what the victim must be going through and completely, the statement was correct. I want to commend him for that. I think he really, really got the apology right. And it sounded really sincere to me. So I just wanted to mention that about Xavi. I thought it was important to kind of say, that's all.
So when I said I don't want to talk, and when you were like, what else you want to, any topics you can think about, when you said that, that shot through my head. And I was like, let me just go around that and avoid that whole topic.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're in some ways not allowed to talk about
it. What is there to talk about? I think what you said it perfectly. And I think it's up to the judicial system now to understand what happened and dictate a sentence. And we should try as a society to not cast guilt, that quickly, but until, proven guilty, like innocent until proven guilty. And that's it, really. I think the evidence is important.
Is insurmountable at this point, it seems.
Well, I mean, sure, absolutely. And look, I don't want to get into this. I really don't want to talk about it. Because obvious.
I think we said what needed to be said.
I think you said it perfectly. Yeah. And I just want to be clear, not to leave any doubt lingering. In case of guilt, in case anybody is guilty of what is being put in the press, of the accusations, the reports that everybody's read. Disgusting. And, no mercy on the jail sentence and maybe whatever, the judicial system has at its maximum, et cetera. But a person has to be guilty. So, and that is up to the judge now to decide and based on the evidence that only they have, only they have. So.
Yeah. The whole thing is disgusting if true and incredibly incredibly vile. That's it. Was there anything from the weekend that you wanted to touch on that we didn't? Well, as usual, we didn't. We need to get our Real Madrid headline. Do you want anything there?
I guess Viva Camavinga, maybe. That will.
I hope you're paying attention to what Camavinga's doing in the last couple of games, bro. That is a good talking point, though. The headline will be Camavinga deserved Golden Boy winner. Proven the critics wrong. It's been unbelievable. I'm really happy he's getting the trust in the playing time. Obviously, against I lost track of how many times it's been, or when it's been at this point. But he's been subbed off early so many times by Ancelotti. Against Villarreal, he kept him on despite having a yellow card. Trusted him with it. After the game said that, he needs to learn how to manage those yellow cards and play with the yellow card. It was great. And both against Villarreal And Atletico was incredible. Look at you. You just can't even stand it. Like, crack a smile or something, Diego. Give me something. Can't, like, you can't get mad at me for, quote unquote, underrating Gavi, but then refuse to even say anything about Camavinga. Give me something.
Give me I threw you the topic. I threw you a bone. I
want to hear it from you. I want
to
hear
it. Waiting for you to jump on it and go,
I want to hear your analysis. He's nice. Camavinga. He's nice. Nice. Just remember that one. File it away, Diego. Next time Gavi or Pedri do something good, I'm just going to say, he's nice. That's it. And I'm going to keep sipping my coffee. He's nice. He's a cute player.
I'll say this. I'm happy for him that he's getting now some continuity. I would imagine a lot of Madridistas were waiting for this moment as well, where Ancelotti was going to give him more minutes. How many games has he completed in a season? Like, how many games has he played,
like, full 90?
Right.
I don't know. I don't think many. They're not many. I mean, the last two that we did, I don't even know if those were the only two or if there have been more. But if there have been more, they've been not many for sure.
It's important for these players to start feeling like, you know, they are given that responsibility and confidence of the older players of the team as well. I mean, after the debacle that we saw take place in the Super Cup final, I think the obvious move now is to say to a Kroos and a Modric, you know, we're going to start being serious about shifting minutes here, and apostar and bet on these players that at the end of the day cost a lot of money, have massive talent. Camavinga come from Lens, right? Or was it Rennes?
Rennes. Rennes.
Already there, he was, you know, touted and hailed as such a top talent, wanted by many clubs. That it's a similar for the French national side. You know, you wanted this jump, I think, to start also giving more minutes to these young players that are hungry, that are ambitious, that are fun to look at. I think that, you know, that, not to open a can of worms, but I'm reading a lot of stuff where between the Gavi and the Camavinga comparisons, where I feel that there are some double standards as well. I think that for as nice as Camavinga is and his understanding of the game, he also lets his, como se dice, tacones, his cleats felt. No, he lets his cleats be felt from time to time and doesn't necessarily get called for by the referee, which is, you know, part of what midfielders, their job as well. I'm not saying that he's a Casemiro in the making. No, he's a nice player.
Well, the thing with the Camavinga thing is that the weird thing is that, and this is maybe where you can criticize me for being the guy who goes based on feeling and bias. I think he has the best tackle in the world, and his ability to win the ball cleanly looks so impossible at times because the ball looks so out of reach that the referees can't even process what's happening, and they just book him because they assume, like, the last two yellow cards he got were completely clean tackles. He got the ball and just the ref's like, well, he must have fouled him because that no way anyone can win the ball when the ball is so out of reach. And I think that is kind of a difference too with Gavi and Camavinga. I think with Camavinga, it's before maybe he just needs to learn how to avoid those yellows. With Gavi, it's just he's either going to break the player or pop the ball, and it's going to just pop. He's just so insane. I get scared for the people he's challenging. It's not even a knock. It might sound like a criticism, but I said this, I think, last week on Churros. I think maybe it was after Clasico. I hate playing against him, but I would like to have him on my team.
He doesn't hold back. Yeah.
You know? Pepe.
He doesn't hold back. It's something that he talked about, or he has talked about, with the coaching staff. He switches into fifth gear or sixth gear very quickly, and it can be a detriment to the team. He's the player, but with by far the most yellow cards.
But that's how they teach. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. You should not be going into a tackle 95%. You should be going in 100%. It's actually the best way to avoid injuries too, because if you're going into a tackle half-assed and scared, then there's the likelihood of getting injured also increases too. So he's actually doing the right thing. I feel like he's going to over under. I don't know if there's one of these betting companies should put it out over under on how many careers that Gavi ends by the time he retires. I think it's 20. I think he's going to end 20. Like 20 people are just going to walk away from those challenges with ligaments hanging off their bones or however. It's crazy. He's got those crazy challenges. Your camera's flickering in and out. I think your conspiracies. You're just wanting to get some conspiracies out, and the Illuminati that are trying to protect you from saying something you shouldn't say. So,
have you started watching Super League, The War for Football yet?
Not yet. I'm sorry. I got to do it. Someone else asked me about it. Have you watched it yet? And I said, no, Diego. I promised Diego I would watch it, though, and I'm going to.
Speaking of Super League, Juve getting hit hard with a 15-point sanction and possibly even more now.
Yeah.
In this new caso plusvalías.
Yeah. It's kind of looking at the Serie A standings. It's not crazy that they somehow qualify for the Champions League despite the new deduction.
Well, there could be more, like they said. So, but yeah.
Could be more. They are, with the deduction now.
Mourinho's cracking Champions League.
Actually, they're 14 points back. Yeah, it's a lot. Mourinho, what did you say about Mourinho?
No, he's cracking the Champions League spots now, tied with Inter on 37, just 1 point behind Milan. I mean, Napoli is running away
defense
with it.
Has been great
by the looks of it.
Yeah, Napoli are on fire. Where are they now in European action? They got
Champions League, no?
Yeah, Frankfurt in the Champions League. I think they can get to the quarterfinals. They can definitely beat someone really big. I was looking at this. I know you don't care about this competition anymore because Barca's out, but someone brought this up on the podcast recently. We were talking about Real Madrid's poor form after the Barca game and how their season will pan out. Someone pointed out the fact that, well, look, PSG are playing Bayern. One of those guys is going to be out. Real Madrid is playing Liverpool. Liverpool's in terrible form. All of a sudden, it could be one of those years where Real Madrid just stumble into this scenario where they're in the Champions League quarterfinals or semifinals. I just wanted to poke you a little bit as we end the podcast. Just get your blood boiling a little bit.
Well, it would be a repeat of a movie I've seen far too many times, so it would be no surprise.
At some point, too much is too much.
Tell
we can't
about
do
it.
This every year. Someone's got to do something else. Someone's got to step up and win a Champions League here and there. It's getting ridiculous.
Seriously. All right, my friend, I have to run.
All right, good chatting, man. It was a fun podcast.
Indeed,
check you, patreon.com/churrositacticas at the end of the week for a bonus podcast where Diego's going to bring his top 10 list. If you want access to that, plus all the stuff Diego's not allowed to talk about, plus some other stuff that we throw in there that is off the walls, become a patron to get access to that. Thanks, Diego. It was really fun. Good luck against Real.
Thanks, buddy. You too.
Take care.
Peace. Yes. Peace.
Sports Social Podcast Network.